The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development with your host, Pamela Robinson. International organizations, government agencies, and communities are addressing the challenges of developing a highly skilled, productive workforce to support positive economic and social impact. By staying on the cutting edge, you and your business stay ahead. Now, here is your host, Pamela Robinson.
Well, welcome to this week's show. I'm so glad you all are joining us this week. And we're going to be talking about connecting in the international workforce today. And I want to focus on areas and markets and sectors that we can tap into for firm growth and also collaboration amongst businesses and NGOs and communities to see how we can fill the gaps for workforce learning and development. And I'm so honored today. Our guest is Elizabeth Vasquez from We Connect. Welcome, Elizabeth.
This is exciting. I'm thrilled to be with you, Pamela.
Oh, I'm so glad you're on the show as well. So, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about We Connect and also about yourself.
We Connect International is a global nonprofit. We were created by some of the largest corporations in the world, and our mission is to find women-owned businesses outside of the U.S. that want to compete for large contracts. And so I have a background in development economics, and I've always been interested in the role of the public sector and the private sector working together, and how do we tap into this great potential that women bring to the table to create solutions for all of us as business owners.
Okay, that's wonderful. So this is such a great fit because of both of our backgrounds on the international community side and the focus, of course, with collaboration amongst communities. And so talk a little bit more about We Connect International. So you said it was formed and backed by several large corporations. How did it come about, though? Why was it even an idea?
There's a wonderful organization in the United States called the Women's Business Enterprise National Council. Everyone calls it WeBank, even though it's not a bank. And this organization works with very large corporations that want to buy products and services from women in businesses here in the U.S. And they were just providing all kinds of fabulous connections for the corporations and for governments and for the women business owners. And the corporations got together about 6 years ago and they said, well, if it's good business to buy from women in the United States, why wouldn't we do this everywhere we do business, everywhere we buy products and services? And so they created We Connect International because there wasn't an organization like WeBank outside of the U.S. And so we are now 4 years old, and we have people representing us in 15 countries.
Oh, that is wonderful. So so are these mostly Fortune 500 firms that are kind of that led the charge with this?
They are. These are, like I said, they represent about $700 billion in annual purchasing power. So these are the really big players like ExxonMobil and Walmart, Coca-Cola, IBM, Ernst & Young, Pfizer, RBS. It's the big players across almost all industry sectors.
Okay, wonderful. Now, I'm glad you pointed that out because that's one of the things I wanted to kind of shed some light on is this is all industries. It's just not one in particular sector or industry.
Right. I mean, we've got Boeing and Cummins and AIG and Marriott and Sodexo. It's a real mix of different corporations with different interests, but all of them want to find innovation. All of them want to be better engaged in the communities they serve.
Okay, wonderful. And so this really does boost their supply chain as well, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, they're really looking for opportunities to improve the products and services they offer to their customers. And so unless and until they have inclusive supply chains that also represent the customers, it's really hard to anticipate the needs of the market. And so generally speaking, we're finding at the global level, women represent about 1% of the suppliers or of the spend of very large organizations. And so they're literally invisible as suppliers to large organizations as women.
Oh, wow. Okay, then we've got it. We've got to improve that. That's not enough. Okay, so let's talk about one of the things that's really important that we want to highlight is why is it so important to invest in women and women-owned firms?
We find that women business owners do business a little bit differently. They have some amazing innovations. They're really good at providing service and after delivery service to their customers. They want to grow their companies, and so they're very competitive in the bidding process when they know about it. And when they do win these contracts, I've seen firsthand how so many of them go back to our network to see if there are other women in businesses that they can subcontract with and do business with. And we find that women in general tend to invest most of their income into their families and into their communities. And so the long-term strategy for these corporations is, of course, to have healthy customers, healthy employees, a good base in these international markets.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay, so what we're focused on is the question that I asked was, you know, why invest in women-owned firms? And Elizabeth, you hit it. Women invest in their community. And if we're talking about economic development and business development and workforce development, that is a critical piece to boosting economies no matter where it is in the world.
Exactly. It doesn't make any sense to have the people responsible, generally speaking, for raising the boys and the girls to not be well-educated, to not themselves be well-nourished, to not, you know, understand how important it is to get the kids into school. And so we need men and women to be equal partners in developing these families and in these communities.
Okay, so we're dealing with a complex issue, of course, which we love, dealing with a complex issue. Talk to us, how does your process work? I mean, is it just about getting women certified, or is it, I mean, how do the connections take place? Kind of walk us through that process.
So that's a great question, because it does seem like the purpose in the beginning was to create a certification organization to verify that these women-owned businesses are actually owned, managed, and controlled by women. But in fact, there's so much more that we're doing to educate policymakers, NGOs, multilateral institutions, corporations, about what it means to be inclusive in the supply chains, why it's important to spend money on men and women-owned businesses, so that we have greater economic opportunity, job creation, because when we invest in small businesses, they create jobs. So it's a much bigger opportunity, as you noted, than certification.
Okay, great. And so as you're moving through this process from where you all started, what are some of the barriers to entry with the collaboration piece?
Well, when we go into most countries, they've really never heard about this concept of supplier diversity and inclusion or certification, or why would they even want to do business with women-owned businesses in particular. And so there is that steep learning curve of helping them understand what's in it for them to want to reach out to the women business owner community and get them more engaged in competitive opportunities for business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, in North America, in the U.S. in particular, we know this because we have laws on the books, so it's evolved into the competitiveness and making sure that you do have a very diverse supply chain. But we're not the only ones. This is a global issue.
Correct. And I think it's important too often when I say that we work with women business owners, they ask me about our work in microfinance, assuming that we're, you know, only talking about women at the base of the pyramid. But in fact, we have to look at the entire value chain and recognize that there are amazing women in businesses of all sizes in almost all countries across almost all industry sectors. But we do need to get them thinking bigger about their potential and the role that they play in their communities as business leaders, and give them that opportunity to really compete and grow those companies.
And you brought up something, thank you for that, Elizabeth, you brought up something very interesting, is that you said, you know, women lead their organizations and companies differently. So this isn't a gender issue, this is a economic solution. And so that difference, what are some of the attributes that you see in the leadership styles, if you will, of women-owned firms?
And we're, as you know, we're speaking very generally.
Very generally.
But in general, women tend to be very inclusive in their management styles. They really believe in what you're about, which is community and collaboration, and not trying to do this on their own, but how do they reach out to that broader community to create, you know, real impact with the products and services they're developing. And they've had a different life experience. So they do see their needs in the market, small and big, and want to develop and are developing really innovative solutions, but no one necessarily, the others don't know about it. And so we're trying to create some visibility and insight and transparency into what those solutions are and why they matter.
Exactly. So it seems like it's always an education process of kind of breaking through some of the barriers.
It is, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for women in businesses to share the way they do business with the existing infrastructure so that we're constantly learning together and improving the business environment for everyone.
Okay, so that leads me to another question of that collaboration, because one takeaway that I really would like the audience to get is as women-owned firms or smaller firms or as emerging firms is how these firms can actually collaborate amongst each other to scale. So when we come back from break, I want to talk about that because I think it's a critical piece. And it's also an attractive attribute to the corporations and the other entities that you mentioned. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Do you have professionals waiting to get a seat in a required acquisition course? Why not bring DAWEA certification courses to your local community? Financial Voyages LLC is partnered with the Department of Defense's Corporate University, Defense Acquisition University, DAU, as a certified equivalent provider offering DAWEA certification courses. Call us at 770-379-0950 to discuss the benefits of becoming a local host organization for DAWEA certification courses by Financial Voyages LLC, or go to www.teamfv.com. Game-changing technologies are transformational, exciting, and disruptive for a reason. They shake up the status quo. They get you thinking about new ways to scale, compete, and grow. They move you in amazing new directions. You're invited to take a coffee break with Game Changers on Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for our special series on today's top big data innovators. Learn about emerging big trends and technologies and how you can grow your business and profit. Startup Focus with Game Changers, presented by SAP on the Business Channel.
out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
You are tuned in to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. To reach Pamela Robinson or today's guest, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to fvradio@teamfv.com. Now, back to the future of workforce learning and development.
Well, welcome back. And if you're just now joining us, we are talking about connecting with the international workforce. And I'm so delighted that we have WeConnect International with us. And Elizabeth, before we went on break, I was talking about one of the key takeaways I'd like for this episode is for women-owned firms to understand the importance and the impact of partnering with one another for several reasons. So can you talk about that a little bit and the benefits of it?
Absolutely. So WeConnect International has a database, an e-network with women-owned businesses from over 70 countries. All of these businesses want to grow their companies. They want access to corporate markets, but they also want to do business with each other. And that's been a really interesting opportunity to see how these women-owned businesses are finding each other, so that if I'm in North America and I'm trying to get a foothold into the Chinese market or the European market, I can actually go into the e-network and look for those businesses, and I feel comfortable that they're similar, they have a similar interest as my business, but could be very complementary. So there are a couple of examples I could give if you want.
Sure.
A lot of folks. I used to give the example of the types of businesses we work with, that there tend to be very growth oriented, larger companies, SMEs, and not, for example, a woman business owner selling tortillas on the corner. But then I found out a few months ago that at one of our events in Latin America, a woman business owner who makes tortillas locally met another woman business owner at one of our events who does gluten-free products, and they got together and now they're making a gluten-free tortilla that's actually being sold into Walmart stores in Central America. And so you just never know what's possible when you bring businesses together to find these opportunities to collaborate. There's another example of a woman business owner in North America who wanted to get into the European market, and she was able to use the network to find a representative in London who then got her into Europe through the UK, and that just wouldn't have happened had she not had sort of a trusted partner on the ground who had been vetted by us so that they felt comfortable working together. So there's opportunities to scale with non-competing companies, but we're also seeing businesses that are the same, that when they come together and go after a larger business opportunity or a bid, they're much more competitive when they do it together than if they had competed against each other.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up. And I love the example of Latin and Central America. I used to live there for many years, so that is awesome. So that's really good. Okay, so one of the things that I also want to mention, because I don't want women to feel intimidated or think that it's too broad for them to compete on an international scale. So what are some of the things that they should look for when they're making these connections? Because, you know, are you going after more emerging and growth markets, or where should my products be? And then the other thing is that I'd like to just kind of make sure that we talk about is making sure that you have a good international attorney.
Yeah, that is a good point, unfortunately. So I think in terms of local opportunity for contracting with large organizations, I think we often forget how many things large organizations source at the office level. So if you look at any office of any organization, they all needed it to be built. They all need the office to be designed and cleaned and managed. The people need chairs and pens and pencils and PR services. Just everything you can artwork, everything you can imagine that goes into the day-to-day running of an organization and the people who serve it. Our needs that the organization has, that and opportunities to include underutilized groups to help build that organization, the infrastructure and the services that are needed. And underutilized could be women-owned businesses, LGBT, ethnic minorities, people with disabilities. It's just a broader conversation of how we include our entire community in growing our organizations.
That's really good, and it brings up a point. We had another episode about redefining diversity, and I think this is a good opportunity to talk about that a little bit more at this juncture. Is when you're talking about inclusiveness and diversity, it's those skill sets and those differences that really make the difference. If you have international experience, your languages, military experience, if you have specific expertise in a certain market, those things are amazing that can also add a lot of value to organizations.
You're exactly right. Whether you're an employee of an organization or you're running your own organization, that understanding and appreciating that a diversity of opinion, of experience, of innovation, that is what's going to differentiate your organization. And the more you can bring that into your organization, either internally or externally through your suppliers and through your partners, I think the more competitive and the more you have that's different, that's unique, that can add value to your customers.
Absolutely. So women, please take note of that as you're continuing to build your management teams and as you're collaborating with other firms that are going to help you scale and build capacity.
Right, and I think for a long time, diversity and inclusion wasn't appreciated the way it is today, and so it didn't really benefit a woman to say that she is a woman-owned business, especially outside of North America. And that's starting to change, that it's actually an asset, and that you should be proud of that and use that asset. But at the end of the day, they're not going to hire you because you're a woman. They're going to hire you because you're the best at what you do. You offer the best total value, and you've proved that.
Yeah, and you just happen to be a woman on top of all your other greatness.
Exactly.
Okay, let's talk about capacity building. Okay, so even if you've got a great product, you have, you know, developed it over the years, but you want to grow, you want to scale, and you want to build your capacity, but it seems like at certain revenue levels, there tends to be, you get stuck at a certain level before you can kind of make it over certain humps. And every business goes through this. But for women-owned firms, I want to talk a little bit about the capacity building. Now, so how are you seeing in We Connect International how the women are building capacity?
It's interesting because a lot of times we have to start with the question of, what do you envision for yourself? Where are you going with your company? What is it you want from your company? And we really have to push them to think bigger than whatever that is. So a good example was a wonderful woman-owned business in Canada who decided to participate in one of our events where they got to meet one of our retailer members and realized that she didn't get that contract, but why couldn't she go after a retail contract with one of the biggest other retailers in the country? And so she did, and she won that contract. Mm-hmm. But it would have never occurred to her to sort of have that audacity to go after such a large business opportunity had she not tried and failed the first time. And so I think giving space to entrepreneurs to try things and to fail and to learn from it, but then do it better the next time and to, you know, learn what it takes to get into a large supply chain, which is often very complicated. It's not very transparent. You know, where do you go to register as a preferred vendor, for example, let alone find out when an RFP or a sourcing event is available? I mean, all of those things are common to large businesses who understand how all of this works. But for a small business, it's overwhelming. And so trying to make this real for them, to meet actual buyers at real organizations that want to source from innovative new vendors is a real important piece of this work.
That's so important. I think one of the things that you brought up, Elizabeth, was, you know, and a key thing that keeps coming up throughout even the research is you have to think big. And not only think big, but you have to put that into action. So this is right. A great opportunity right now is the things that you've either had on the shelf, ideas that you might have had, or things you might have hesitated doing. This is the time to really act upon those ideas and not let them just sit there or being hesitant about executing.
I totally agree. I think so many of us in just our day-to-day worlds see opportunities, see things that aren't working. We see problems and we have ideas for some type of solution and we don't act on it. And there's really big issues we're facing. And there's also little day-to-day niceties that we'd all like to have. But someone's got to deliver that. Someone has to develop that. Someone has to invest in that. And so I think you're right. The time is now. We should be all entrepreneurial in how we think and how we act, even if it's to support our employer within its organization to be a better organization and to grow and to prosper and to serve the needs of their constituents. So there's always opportunities to be entrepreneurial and make a difference.
Now, Elizabeth, you talked a little bit about, you know, knowing where to go and being resourceful, you know, about getting, you know, solicitations and, you know, RFPs, RFQs. But I think another component to that is really bumping up your game when it comes to networking. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely, because I know that the forums that we present, where IBM, for example, will host a Meet the Member event where the women business owners will come in and meet IBM buyers, but IBM also brings its prime suppliers to the table so that the entire supply chain can get connected and people can figure out where it makes sense for them to engage. And you just never know who you're going to meet and who they know. So, you know, you may not get a contract with IBM, but you find out that there's a woman business owner there or one of IBM's suppliers that's a perfect fit for your organization as an investor or as a customer or as a supplier, because we all have our own purchasing power. And maybe you're, you know, there's a supplier at that meeting that would be perfect for your organization. I think we all just need to be a little bit more open-minded about how we spend our money and how we develop our networks, and are we really listening to the people we're talking with to find out what they know and who they know and how we could add value to each other.
And one of the things that is the beauty of this is that most women, we naturally build relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not difficult for us to do because we know how to connect with one another.
And it's fun. We have so, it is such a joy to be in these meetings that are with, you know, some of the biggest, most powerful institutional players in the world, but getting to meet, you know, really fun, interesting women business owners and having conversations, like you said, about what's possible. What could we all do together if we started better collaborating and building our communities and building solutions? You just never know what's going to happen. It's pretty exciting.
It is very exciting. A key point that I want to leave in this part of our episode is one thing I don't want women to forget, or kind of making sure that you don't overlook this, is how do you monetize these ideas? How do you monetize? A lot of times we give up, you know, free time, or you volunteer or something along those lines, when you need to be thinking about how can I monetize this. But it also goes into, you don't have to just focus just on that piece of it. You can also focus on giving back to your community as well. So when we come back from break, I want to leverage that idea into, Elizabeth, how do we contribute to our communities? That's something that's very important to particularly women-owned firms.
Fabulous.
Okay, great. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. Do you have professionals waiting to get a seat in a required acquisition course? Why not bring DAWEA certification courses to your local community? Financial Voyages LLC is partnered with the Department of Defense's Corporate University, Defense Acquisition University, DAU, as a certified equivalent provider offering DAWEA certification courses. Call us at 770-379-0950 to discuss the benefits of becoming a local host organization for DAWEA certification courses by Financial Voyages LLC, or go to www.teamfv.com.
Are the challenges of economic uncertainty and the pressures of global competition wreaking havoc on your company strategy? To succeed in today's fast-paced, high-tech business landscape, companies must continually adapt while driving innovation and exploiting new opportunities. Listen for Quantum Business Insights with host Olivia Parr Rood. Our guests will include thought leaders from around the world discussing and exploring the concepts that will move companies forward in these uncertain times. Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/World Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. To reach Pamela Robinson or today's guest, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to fvradio@teamfv.com. Now, back to the future of workforce learning and development.
Welcome back. We are talking about connecting with the international workforce. And one of the things I would like to invite the listeners to do, please email me with your questions or anything that topics or ideas that you have based on this episode, because we could go on and on and on this on today's episode. Elizabeth, before we went on break, we were talking about monetizing the ideas and focusing on that aspect, because it's so important to, number one, know your numbers, knowing, you know, where particularly your cash flow and what profitability looks like on every project that you're working on.
And I think that was an extremely important point. I said that we have a lot of fun doing this work, but at the end of the day, these women that we work with aren't looking for grants, and the corporations we work with aren't looking to give out grants. This is about business. It's about growing companies, creating jobs, offering solutions. And so it is really important that we recognize that women in businesses want to compete for contracts. They're not looking for set-asides or quotas. It's just that they need the opportunity to get into the bidding process, equal opportunity. And so there are some wonderful ways that when we're successful, we're able to give back to the community. So that would be also an interesting thing to touch on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think now that, because money can come in all different forms and different currency can come in all different forms. So the contracts themselves, but if you're working with your other types of organizations, it may be an actual grant, or because grants are big money. I mean, internationally, that's huge. And so that also gets you into different environments and different cultures. But one of the things that I think is really critical and is the economic side of business, where you have the profitability model. But for women-owned firms, and I'm just focusing on that because that's the niche that we're carving out this episode, there's a part of us, of most of us, that we have this desire to be able to give back. And you're seeing this across the board regardless of gender. And not after the profitability where we're talking about philanthropy, but where it is built into the fabric of the company, into the strategy of the company, and having more of a blended model, whether it is a double or triple bottom line, where we have also social impact. And so, Elizabeth, talk about this a little bit, because it's something that's critical that is not going to go away. And companies, corporations need to understand that even to attract and to retain employees and new generations, this is a top-of-the-mind topic.
And there's not a lot of good data on it. I know that what you're saying is true because I see it every day in the companies we work with across every region of the world. I think India has some data, because when you register as a company, you do need to say if your company is 51% owned and managed by women. And when they took the data and they said, okay, well, what's the difference between the way men run their businesses and women run their businesses if you hold everything constant, so apples to apples? And similar businesses that are owned by women, they tend to employ more people. And so if you're looking to invest in job creation and organizations that create jobs, and you're the Indian government, where do you think you should be investing resources to help grow those types of SMEs in your economy? So I think more and more there's an appreciation for how these women are growing these companies in a way that's very inclusive, that looks at the human being as a person and not just an employee, but and that can include an appreciation for, you know, the extra responsibilities for caring for family members, and needing more flexibility with that, the importance of education, and investment in training, healthcare. Those types of benefits are really well understood and appreciated by women business owners. And so, like I said, not a lot of good data on how women are managing those things differently within their companies for their employees, but I see it every day. And I think we all need to learn some lessons about how those new models are being developed, and how it can improve business models generally.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things is the measurement piece is it tends to always surface into a gender issue when that may not be the best comparison, but you tend to gravitate towards that. I think in many cases, one of the things that's missing is we don't have, or we're just now starting to see, how do we measure this different type of model that is not purely, you know, economic, but that is a blended model that some companies have been successful in doing, but it's not the predominant business model.
Right, and I think more and more large organizations and smaller organizations are finding that to attract and retain talent in any country and in any sector, they're needing to be a little more flexible in how they work with their employees and how they treat their employees. And so when you look at it through a gender lens, my experience is that it makes work better for everyone, because everyone benefits from the benefits and the flexibility and the ability to sometimes work from home and those types of things. So I see this as a net benefit for everyone when we look at the best practices that are coming out of the businesses owned by women.
That's wonderful. So continuing with our role of the community, what is business's role in the community from what you all see at We Connect International? What's the role of the business in the community?
I think as long as we continue to emphasize that all corporations, large or small, or all organizations ought to include a focus on ESG, which is the environment and social factors and just good governance and transparency and being a good organization. When everyone builds out their companies with those things in mind, then all of us hopefully are improving the planet that we all live on, and not damaging it. All of us are creating better opportunities for society, for the people who make up these organizations. And by being more transparent and accountable throughout our work, it just makes for better opportunities for collaboration and business connections.
But is there a dark side to that too? I mean, is there a degree of, you know, being transparent, or is there a degree of how far you can go, or is it either or?
I don't see it as either or, and I think everyone will do different amounts or have different abilities to be good in those three different areas. I mean, first and foremost, your business needs to survive. So back to your point of it needs to make money so that you can pay the people to do the work. So it needs to add value to the end users, whatever that is. But in doing that, I think it's really important to be a good citizen in the business community so that you have that, as you said, double or triple bottom line, so that we're constantly looking to improve things and not make them worse.
So we've got some big problems here. We've got some big complex problems that not one entity can solve by themselves, and the opportunities that are presented amongst us are so big and so grand that, you know, the borders and the, you know, geographic areas that we experience are broken down because of advances in technology, of course.
Right. The conversation about is globalization good or bad? I mean, that to me is not a starting point, because it just is.
It is
globalization.
Is, exactly.
The question is, how do we choose to engage in that, and how do we choose to contribute to the development of our local communities and of the global community? So it's a lot of clear decisions we're making about the organizations we're a part of.
Okay, so having said that, now, from a resource standpoint, we are all limited towards resources. That's just life. We're just limited.
Right.
And so we've got to make sure that we understand that context matters, that we're solving real problems when we're providing a solution to something towards an end user or a customer or a client or a community.
Well, right, and I think what's interesting to recognize is that when small businesses make investments in being a good corporate citizen and being transparent in how they do business, they're actually more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Because the larger corporations are being held more and more accountable because there's more transparency about their actions and the impact of those actions. And people are starting to say, you know, how did that happen and why did that happen? And if something goes wrong, where along the supply chain did something go wrong? And so if you're a supplier in that supply chain, you have to be held accountable for your part of that, your contribution to that thing that happened that's good or the thing that happened that's not so good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. When we come back from break, I want to take a little bit further into this. You know, what problems are we actually solving? So bringing it down to the enterprise or the company level to make sure that we are focused on areas that we can really make an impact. That's one of the things with businesses that are either, you know, scaling or going through their growth and development, is you have to narrow your focus.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Okay, great. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Do you have professionals waiting to get a seat in a required acquisition course? Why not bring DWIA certification courses to your local community? Financial Voyages LLC is partnered with the Department of Defense's Corporate University, Defense Acquisition University, DAU, as a certified equivalent provider offering DWIA certification courses. Call us at 770-379-0950 to discuss the benefits of becoming a local host organization for DWIA certification courses by Financial Voyages LLC, or go to www.teamfv.com.
As your business grows, are you growing with it? Do you have the right balance of time, attention, work, and personal life? Take the growing pains out of growth and tune into The Business Edge with Marcia Zeidel. If you are spending most of your energy managing problems rather than focusing on taking your business to the next level, our program will give you the steps you need to make sure you have everything in place for forward-thinking business leadership. The Business Edge is heard every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. You are tuned in to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. To reach Pamela Robinson or today's guest, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to fvradio@teamfv.com. Now, back to the future of workforce learning and development.
Well, welcome back. We are talking about connecting with the international workforce. I am loving this episode, Elizabeth.
Me too.
I mean, we could go on and on about these areas. And again, I definitely encourage and invite the listeners to contact the show, email me with questions, anything that we've been discussing here so we can continue the conversation. So Liz, as we were talking about, you know, we've got these big problems, we have complex problems that we all need to say, you know, where do I fit in this? How am I going to make an impact so that what your business is doing goes beyond, yeah, you have to make the money. You have to, in order to sustain yourself and be in business, you have to be profitable. But then the question becomes, okay, what do you do with that profitability? So you got to decide if you how far you want to scale. Do you want to be what size do you want to be? Where do you want to be geographically? Those are some of the questions that you want to ask. But one of the things that's important that you want to do now is, like I said, context matters. What problems are you really solving? So it's not about what the products and services that you have. It's what problem are you solving with those products and services and solutions and innovations. So Elizabeth, talk a little bit about the problem-solving piece so that we can narrow down the focus that the companies are bringing to the table.
So that's a really, there's so much in what you just said. And WeConnect is working really hard to create a world in which men and women have, you know, the same opportunities to design and implement business solutions that really can create prosperity and wealth in their communities. But in order to do that, the businesses, all businesses, need to think about what problem are they trying to solve? What is the issue that needs your help, that you can add value to? And I think, you know, with a $62 trillion global economy, there are resources out there. We are buying products and services every day in huge amounts. The only question is, you know, what are you as an entrepreneur going to do to be a part of that? And if you're not an entrepreneur, what can you do to encourage more underutilized businesses to get into the game and to compete and to give us the solutions we all want and we all need? And we all have purchasing power. So everyone has some level of purchasing power. We spend money as individuals and as a part of our organizations. And I think we just need to be thoughtful about how we spend our money, because it's literally a vote for the world that we want.
And that's really important because it's the money piece is so critical because it's one of the few resources that can transform itself into any other resource.
Exactly. It's just a current, it's an exchange of power and influence of what we want and what we need.
So when you have that profitability, what are you sending those funds, that money out to do? Of course you want to invest it back into the company for further growth, but then what else are you doing to make a contribution?
Right. What are you doing to develop the capacity of others? How can you be a mentor in the work that you do and teach by example and bring others into that supply chain with you so you're not doing this alone? And ask for help. You know, ask for mentors. Ask for people to teach you the ropes. Too often I think we don't ask for help, but none of us are doing this alone. So we need to help others, but we also need to ask for help ourselves.
That's very interesting because that's one of my number one goals from an executive standpoint this year is to develop others and to let go of some of the tasks that I've done in the past out to the management team. So that's one of the things that you also want to look like. If you're still doing everything in the company or the majority of the things because of control or whatever reason, you got to let that go if you really want to scale.
Exactly. And being comfortable with the 80-20, that it's not all going to be perfect all of the time, and be comfortable with that, especially in a global environment where things are chaotic and they change every day. You just have to be very comfortable with that type of change management and outsourcing and including others in your growth and development.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think one of the things that's really helping from our standpoint is it is allowing us to continue to fill the skills gap, both from the technical side and the soft skills of some very complex areas within international organizations. So for you, Elizabeth, with We Connect International, what is your next chapter? Where are you all headed with the success that you've had to date?
That is a good question. We're doing work in Europe and places like the UK and Turkey, and we're doing some work in North America, throughout Latin America, Australia, India, China. We're about to launch in Indonesia. We just launched in Nigeria and South Africa. So very, very diverse markets, but we've got so many requests coming towards us for what can we do in the Middle East? What can we do in Eastern Europe? So it's a very interesting time, an exciting time that there's actually interest in the rest of the world in being a part of this process.
That's wonderful, and I wish you much success in that and planting those seeds globally, because the desires are there, and we have what it takes to make these things happen, but we have to do it together. So in closing out, Elizabeth, what are your lessons learned that you'd like to share with the audience?
Take risks. Accept that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a fun ride. You're going to make mistakes, but quickly learn from them and course correct and then try something different. And I think that for me has been one of the best things I could have ever done is build a team around me that is comfortable with that type of work structure.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful. Take risk and create a culture where you do have a code of conduct so that your performance is consistent no matter where in the world you're going to operate. That's such great lessons learned for closing out. Take risks. This is the time to act. No more hesitation. No more letting good ideas sit on the shelf anymore. You can do this. You can do this. We need great companies to come forward and really make both an economic and social impact.
And if you don't want to do it yourself, support others that want to do that, because we're all in this together.
Absolutely. Elizabeth, it's been wonderful having you on the show.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. What a wonderful audience, too.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks so much. And thank you all for listening this week. Please email me, reach out any questions that you might have, any way that we can help. We're more than happy to do so. And again, thanks so much for listening. Elizabeth, thanks for being a guest this week.
Thanks, Pamela. I think you're an amazing leader.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you again for listening to The Future of Workforce Learning and Development. Please join your host, Pamela Robinson, again next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.